John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with my longtime colleague, Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. And Peter and I enjoy philosophizing. It's a weakness of ours. We're older figures now, and we're left to wander the garden by ourselves with our hands behind our backs, contemplating the universe that we may or may not enjoy. However, part of philosophizing depends upon good cuisine or bad cuisine and the ability to imagine, the ability to express ideas that are not current or not popular. That is part of what we enjoy in the United States. That's a foundation. You get to think and practice and speechify in all directions. Now, we come to a phenomenon today called the cancel culture. Peter writes about the cancel culture and the difference between criticism and canceling. However, Peter, I tell this story that when I heard that a Dr. Seuss book or several were no longer acceptable to the cancel culture, to the new censorship, I went on Amazon and ordered Horton Hears a Who about a conversation with a creature called Who. It said out of stock. So I thought, okay, it'll come in August. They'll get some back. They'll find them somewhere. It came in 4 days. So my version of cancel culture is that it sells books. I don't know if they mean to sell books, but that's a good thing, isn't it, Peter, to sell books?
Well, yes, John, it is a good thing. And if at long last cancel culture confers upon us a benefit, that is not just selling books, but reminding us of the importance of the First Amendment, which protects the freedom of speech, and in general, of the role that free speech, free expression play in a free and democratic society. If cancel culture revitalizes our thinking about freedom, then it will have served a purpose.
The column you write looks at a particular column written by Michelle Goldberg, the distinguished columnist from the New York Times, in which, apparently from my reading of the column, because you linked to it, so I read through, Ms. Goldberg believes that canceling and criticism are the same things? I'm generalizing just to understand.
You are generalizing, but accurately. It's even worse. She claims that conservatives are hypocrites because conservatives defend free speech. They condemn cancel culture. But then they go and try to cancel. Her topic there is critical race theory. But all of her examples are actually instances of conservatives criticizing critical race theory. And this is also important, John, opposing the institutionalization of critical race theory within the federal government or within the curriculum. By institutionalize, I mean the Trump administration didn't want the federal bureaucracy to itself be promulgating among federal workers this radical doctrine of critical race theory. And conservatives don't want schools to be teaching critical race theory exclusively as if it were the one single American public philosophy. In other words, Michelle Goldberg confuses, in the case of conservatives, cancellation. She criticizes criticism and opposition to institutionalization with cancellation. Really, we have to be clear. Cancellation means shaming people for their utterances, ostracizing people for their utterances, silencing people. It's got nothing to do with criticizing people and rejecting the institutionalization of a single radical view as the official American public philosophy.
Peter, this is the first chance we've had to touch on this topic, and I know that we have much more to learn. But the word dissent, has that been lost from the vocabulary of current events, dissent?
Well, it has, but all you need to revive the word dissent is to elect again a Republican president. You will remember that during the George W. Bush years, we were told that dissent was the highest form of patriotism, which of course was never true. If patriotism means loving your country, sometimes loving your country does not receive expression in dissent. Sometimes it does, but it was never the highest form of patriotism. And then, of course, during the Obama administration years, we were often told that dissenting from the president could only be explained in terms of racism. Then Donald Trump was elected. Then we didn't hear about dissent, but we heard about resistance. Resistance was the mark of a truly moral person. Now, again, we have a Democratic president again, so dissent is now out. Dissent is now only the desire to return to authoritarianism. So what we're witnessing is a rather inconsistent view. What we should do is adopt the constitutional view. The constitutional view is that dissent is always important, no matter who is the president. Sometimes the dissenters are ninnies, kooks, fools, and sometimes they're uttering truths that we desperately must hear, but always we need to make room for dissenting voices in a free society.
It can't be that they just didn't have the history class we had, Peter. Would that be too – I'm looking for a simple explanation for how it is that extremely well-educated people, well-regarded people, are writing these days as if the United States was a product of some, I don't know, some uniformity. It's not. It's a conglomeration of contradictions.
Well, I'm very sorry, actually, to remind you, John, of something you know perfectly well, which is if some of these people are under the age of 50, then they very well might not have had the history classes that you and I sort of took for granted. Straightforward history classes. I'm sure this was true of your history classes, which in no way sought to obscure the truths of the evils of slavery and other kinds of oppression that have been a part of American history, but nevertheless truly presented the greatness of America's founding principles and the greatness of the American political tradition, a constitutional tradition within which so much discrimination has been overcome and will still be overcome. But yes, as your question suggested, really a big part of the problem is education. There is no small amount of hypocrisy, but a big part is generations now, a generation and a half, maybe two generations, are being systematically deprived of a responsible education in American principles and history.
Peter, last question then. A minute to go. I go back to Horton Hears a Who. Dr. Seuss, it's a children's book. It was written in 1954. It must occur to people who are advocating these strong positions that sustaining your point of view by banning a book or suggesting a book is not acceptable, Horton Hears a Who, it needs to have a debate. Do they hear that they need to debate, that it is not decided? We have 30 seconds.
I'm not confident that they hear there's a debate. I believe this is a crude power play, which the people who can are showing that the authorities of right censor for the sake of the public good. This is a pernicious doctrine that we must resist in the name of constitutional principles with everything we have.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.